We are beginning here on the top of Lamed Gimel with Aleph, three lines down. The Gemara begins, Abaye misader maracha mishmei de Gemara, baliba de Abba Shaul. Abaye sets up the maracha. The maracha here is a list of avodot that are done in the Mikdash, and here he gives a sequence of those avodot, what comes before what, and the way that it should be done or processed in the Mikdash. He does this mishmei de Gemara. It's machloket as to what mishmei de Gemara means. Some of the Rishonim believe Mishmei de Gemara means that he said it's Stam. Gemara means he has no attribution. It's Abaye himself speaking. Without any attribution, that's what it means. Mishmei de Gemara means Stam. Rashi, on the other hand, says Mishmei de Gemara means he had the acquiescence of all the Rabbonon of the Beit Midrash. That the Rabbonon of the Beit Midrash agreed with this position of Abaye, and that's why Abaye is quoting it. Then Aliba de Abba Shaul. That references back to a machloka that we saw on Daf Yudalid, the machloka between the Chachamim and Abba Shaul as to the placement of the Dama Tamid and the Ktoret vis-a-vis the Hatavat Chamesh HaNeirot and Hatavat Shtei HaNeirot. If you remember back there, we split up the Hatavat and Neirot into five of the Neirot being done once and then two of the Neirot being done later. Question is, what sits between them? According to Abba Shaul, the Dama Tamid sits between them, whereas with the Chachamim, the Ktoret sits between them. And that had to do with their interpretation of the Psukim with regards to Hatavat HaNeirot and Ketoret. So what Abaye says to us is that he's saying this over Mishmei de Gemara. We saw the two interpretations of that. Within the position of Abba Shaul. What's very interesting is that we say this over every morning in Korbanot. Now, if you had a choice in terms of Psak Halacha between Abba Shaul and the Chachamim, we would generally favor the Chachamim. And that is the Psak of the Rambam. The Rambam Paskins, when he brings down the order of the Avodah in the morning in the Mikdash, he follows the position of the Chachamim and not that of Abba Shaul. So the question is, why is it that we say over this Memra of Abaye in the morning, given that the Halacha is like the Rabbanan? One possibility is because of what Rashi says here, that Abaye's Memra is Mishmei de Gemara. The way Rashi explains Mishmei de Gemara means that he had the acquiescence of all the Rabbanon of the Beit Midrash. If that's the case, maybe Abaye's opinion here, that following Abba Shaul no longer is a minority opinion, but that is the majority. Everybody believes that Abba Shaul is correct here, and that gives more strength to the position of Abba Shaul rather than that of the Chachamim. And for that reason, we say over the Abaye, they have a Mesadim Arocha Mishmei de Gemara, Valiba de Abba Shaul. That's one possible answer. The other possibility is that the Stam Mishnayot in Tamid follow the position of Abba Shaul. So since the Stam Mishnah in Tamid follows the position of Abba Shaul, therefore we would paskin like Abba Shaul, even though it's a Yachid Neged Rabim. But despite both of those facts, the Rambam still paskins that the Halacha is like the Chachamim, which would arouse the question as to why we say it in the morning if it isn't La Halacha. Others like the Tur and the Mishnah Brura indicate that the reason we read Abaye Mesader Seder Meracha, even though the Halacha is not that way, is because either the promise from Hashem that if we're Osek Binyanei Korbanot, Hashem will consider it as if we were Makriv Korbanot, or because the din of reading the Korbanot is a din in Limud HaTorah, to understand and to delve into the issues, and therefore bringing the Seder Meracha according to Abaye is helpful in elucidating the issues or the process by which the Korbanot or the Avodat HaMikdash was done in the morning. I would suggest also that part of the problem is that the position of the Chachamim who argue in Abba Shaul is actually never brought in such a Mesudar and organized fashion. We know back from Daf Yudalit that they argue on a portion of the order or the sequence of Abba Shaul. But never do we have a statement in the Gemara or explicit layout that gives you the order from beginning to end for the Rabbanan. And so because of that, it might be that we say over the Seder Maracha, Aliba de Abba Shaul, the one that Abaye brings down, because that is the most mifurash and mifurat. It's explicit and detailed list. It's the most efficient way to talk about or speak about the Avodat HaBoker in the Mikdash, even though the Halacha might be like the Chachamim, because we would have to use this list in order to extrapolate or understand the position of the Chachamim as well, because most of what is in the list is true for the Chachamim as well. There's only small differences between the two positions, And therefore we bring down Abaye, even though maybe the halacha is not like Abba Shul, but like the Chachamim, because he has the most explicit list. And from that list, we can then derive or understand the position of the Chachamim. So for all of those reasons, we do read this in the verba note in the morning. And now we'll get a greater understanding of that, because the Gemara wants to understand exactly why the list is in this order. First, Abaye is going to list out all the information. Then the Gemara will come back one by one and explain the reason behind the sequencing here. The first one is Maracha Gedola, Kodemet, the Maracha Shniya Shel Ketoret. Taking care of the large pyre on the Mizbeach comes before taking care of or setting up of the secondary pyre of the Ketoret. The secondary pyre of the Ketoret was used to create coals, and those coals were then taken from the Mizbeach HaChitzon and brought into the Mizbeach HaPnuim, Mizbeach HaZahav, upon which they put the Ketoret. That pyre was done on the southwestern side of the Mizbeach, and the Mishnah in Tamid discusses exactly where its location is, 4 amot off the southern side, but that might have to do with the opinion of where the Mizbeach is located. But in general, the Maracha Shnei Ashel Ketoret is on the southwestern side, whereas the Maracha Gedola was found pretty much centered along the eastern side of the Mizbeach. So first you take care of the Maracha Gedola, and then you take care of the Maracha Shnei Ashel Ketoret. Maracha Shnei Ashel Ketoret, taking care of the pyre for the Ketoret, is kodemet l'sidur shnei gizrei etzim. This is something we've already discussed early in the Masechta. There's a requirement, both by the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Bambayim, to bring 2 logs of wood and place them, we'll see, by the Maracha Gedola, because it says, v'yer alea kohen etzim, etzim in the plural. We did learn the difference between the Tamid Shel Shachar, where it can be done by 1 kohen, whereas by the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, it must be done by 2 kohanim, but there's still a requirement that the Shnei Gizrei Etzim be put on the Mizbeach. So that is done after we take care of the Maracha of the Ketoret. We put these 2 logs of wood on the Mizbeach. Sidur Shnei Gizrei Etzim, Kodem L'dishim Mizbeach HaPnimi. Placement of 2 logs of wood onto the Mizbeach precedes the cleaning off of the Mizbeach HaZahav. Remember, we just discussed that from the pyre of the Ketoret, you take in coals and place them onto the Mizbeach HaZahav, upon which the Ketoret is burnt later on in the Avodah. Well, the next day when you come there, those coals that were brought the previous day with the Ketoret still remain there. So the Dishim Mizbeach HaNimi is to sweep off the, or clean off the Mizbeach HaZahav from yesterday's coals, in order to prepare it for the placement of today's coals. V'dishin mizbeach pnimi, hodem hatavat chamesh neirot. And the cleaning out of the mizbeach pnimi precedes the cleaning up or taking care of the 5 candles on the menorah. Now the 5 candles of menorah, we already discussed this earlier on the Masechta, as to what exactly is done. They come out, they take out the ashes from the previous day, they reset up the 5 neirot, machloket, Rashi, and Rambam, as to whether you just fix them up, or you actually relight them. But we do that for the 5 of the Neirot. And then, Tavad HaMesh Neirot, Kodemet the Dam HaTamid. That precedes the Dam HaTamid. This is the Shitat Abba Shaul, that what divides between the 5 fixing of the 5 Neirot and the fixing of the 2 Neirot is the Dam HaTamid, and that the Ketoret is done completely after you take care of the Neirot. So this is why Abaye is saying this, Aliba da Abba Shaul. This is Abba Shaul's opinion versus the Rabbanan's opinion, which is that the Ketoret would divide here. The Dama Tamid, Kodem la Tavad Shnei Neirot. And the Dama Tamid precedes the fixing of the 2 Neirot. Gemara will discuss why there's a division between 5 and 2, and why it's necessary to split the Neirot up into 2 sequences. Patavad Shnei Neirot, Kodemet Liktoret. And the fixing of the Shtei Neirot comes before the bringing of the Ketoret. Again, this is Shitat Abba Shaul, that the Ketoret is brought completely after you finish taking care of the Dishun HaMinorah. Uketoret, and the bringing of the Ketoret, Shel Shachar, is Kodemet Le'Evarim. Precedes the placing of the Evarim, the limbs of the Korban Olah of the Tamid Shel Shachar, onto the Mizbeach. Ve'Evarim, and the placement of the limbs from the Korban onto the Mizbeach, precedes the Mincha. Mincha here is the Minchat Nisachim that accompanies the Korban Olah of the Tamid Shel Shachar. Umincha, the Mincha that's associated with the Tamid Shel Shachar precedes that of the Chavitin. Chavitin is the Minchat Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol that is brought daily, Machatzita Boker, Machatzita Be'er, half in the morning and half in the evening. Again, something we discussed earlier in the Masechta. V'chavitin l'nisachim, and the minhag chavitin of the Kohen Gadol precedes the nisachim. Nisachim here refer to the libations, the wine libation, nisoch hayayin that accompanies the korban tamid shel shachar. U'nisachim l'musafim. If it turns out that this is on Shabbat, then the nisachim precede the musafim of Shabbat. U'masafim l'vazichim. And we know that also on Shabbat, the bazichei levona, the utensils holding the frankincense on the shulchan, which is brought or mukrav on Shabbat in order to be matir the lechem hapanim, those come after the musafim. First you do the musafei Shabbat, and then afterwards you bring the bazichim that we put onto the mizbeach, and that is matir the lechem hapanim on Shabbat. Ubazichim, and then the vote of the bazichim has to come before the tamid shel ben arba'im. Come before the final tamid of the day, the tamid shel ben arba'im. Shenemar, biktir alea chalvei hashilamim. And it says by the korban ola, in the beginning of Parshat Tzav, about Trumat HaDeshen, as well as the setup of the pyres, there, that little parshia concludes with Beish al mizbeach tugar baolu techbeh, uvir er alea kohen itzim baboker baboker, ve'arach aleha ha'ola. And you must set up the ola on these pyres. Viktir aleha chalvei ha'shlamim. Upon that, you put the chalavim, the fats of the shlamim. And we dash from that, aleha ha'shlem kol ha'korbanot kulam. On it, all the korbanot must be finished. We'll get to this in tomorrow's daf, and we'll deal with it a little more extensively. But the basic limud is that all korbanot must be brought on the tamid shel shachar. That hiktir aleha, on it means after the Tamid Shashachar is done, so that means the Tamid Shashachar must be the first Korban in the Mikdash. Every other Korban that is brought in the Mikdash must be on the Tamid Shashachar, meaning after the Tamid Shashachar, but that also means that it must precede the Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im. Because once you've done the Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im, then any other Korban that you brought afterwards would be on the Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im and not on the Tamid Shel Shachar. The only exception to that rule is the Psachim, which we know comes after the Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im. But otherwise, no korban or no avodah is done after the tamid shel ben arba'im, except for things that are associated with the tamid shel ben arba'im, like the ketoret and hetavat and erot, that are associated with the tamid shel ben arba'im. So the limud here is that the tamid shel shachar is the first korban on the mizbeach, as well as every other korban in the mikdash has to follow it. And that means that the tamid shel ben arba'im is the closing korban of the day. So Amar Mar. Now the Gemara is going to go back piece by piece and discuss how Abaye came up with this sequence and the limudim for each part of this sequence. So the first thing that we saw was that maracha gdola kodemet the maracha shniya shel ketoret. The maracha gdola, the large pyre upon which the majority of the korbanot are placed, comes before the maracha shniya shel ketoret, for the pyre that is created to generate the coals that we brought into the mizbech hazahav for the ketoret. Minolon. How do you know that's the case? So once again, from beginning of Parshat Tzav, we bring a pasuk which says, Tzav et aron vet banav lemor, zot torat ha'ola. Ki ha'ola al mokda, al mizbeach kol ha'layla, ad ha'boker, v'esh ha'mizbeach tukad bo. So here the word moked or tukad is used twice in the pasuk, and the moked is an indication of putting together a pyre or a fire. So the first that is mentioned here is Hi ha'ola al mokda, al mizbeach kol ha'layla, zu maracha gedola. That references the maracha gedola, because that's what the korban ha'loa is going to be placed on. That's the maracha gedola. The ish ha'mizbeach tukad bo. And then the final part of that pasuk, that there's an ish on the mizbeach has to be burnt, zu maracha shnia shel ketoret. That references the second maracha, which is used for the ketoret. Now, as far as the pasuk is concerned, we assign the maracha gedola to the first mokda, and the maracha shnia shel ketoret to the second tukad. What the Gemara says is, v'ibachana. How do you know which is which? The Gemara says, mistavra maracha gedola adifa, shekein kaparata meruba. Makes sense to put the maracha gedola first, because it is the major pyre that is on the mizbeach. The korbanot hayom are all going to be brought on this pyre. So therefore it should be granted precedence, if you have to choose in the pasuk, which is referencing the maracha gedola and which is referencing the maracha shniya shel ketoret, I would give precedence to the maracha gedola in the order of the pasuk. It says, adarabba, maracha shniya adifa. Why don't we say that the maracha that is used to generate the coals to take in to put on the ketoret, shekei machnisim imen alifnim, because those coals, that fire is going to produce coals that are taken into the heichal, into the kodesh, where the mizbech hazahav is. So maybe it should be granted precedence, or it should be the definition of the first mokda in the pasuk, because it has more kedusha, because it's going to end up in the heichal, versus the maracha gedola, which is going to remain on the mizbech hachitzon. Mar concludes, Afilahachi, kaparata miruba adifa, that we give precedence to the fact that the bigger pyre, the maracha gedola, is used for all the korbanot ayom, and that has more significance, and is given precedence to the maracha shnia shel ketoret, which is simply used for the ketoret, and not anything else, even though that goes into the hechal, into the kodesh. B by tema, and there's some that suggest this is the reason that the maracha gedola is given precedence, because if he doesn't have sufficient wood to put together the maracha shnia to build a second pyre to generate the coals for the ktoret, then milo ma'ayomi maracha gdola, can't he take in the coals from the maracha gdola? I mean, the necessity to put the coals on the mizbech zahav is there, whether you have the maracha or the pyre of the ktoret or not. So if you have insufficient wood to create both pyres, you can create the maracha gdola, and on it you will put all the korbanot, as well as you can take the coals from there and put them on the Mizbech Zahav. The requirement is simply that the coals come from the Mizbech HaKitzon and replace the Mizbech Zahav. The fact that we have an additional pyre is from the Pasuk here, which is Eish HaMizbech Tukad Bo. We have an additional assay to say make another pyre for this. But if we didn't have such a pyre, we would be allowed to use the Maracha Gedolah. So that means that the Maracha Gedolah, in a sense, has both elements to it. It has the aspect of being Karparatam Ruba, which is that all the korbanot go on it. And number two is, it could be used for the ktoret. Since it could be used for the ktoret, it also has that shame that it could go lifnim, that the coals from it can end up in the kodesh. Whereas the maracha shnia shel ktoret only has one of those two aspects, which is the fact that it's taken bifnim. But it's only used for the ktoret, so it doesn't have kaparata meruba. And based on that, the maracha gedola gets precedence. That's the first thing that we take care of in the mikdash. And only afterwards do we deal with the maracha shnia, the second pyre for the ketoret. Now the Gemara moves on to the second sequence of Abai, which is maracha shnia shel ketoret kodemet l'sidur shnei gizrei etzim, that the second pyre that's used for the ketoret takes precedence over the shnei gizrei etzim. Minolan. How do we know this is the case? Dichtiv. So this again we saw earlier in the Masechta. Later on the pasuk says ish al mizbech tukad bo lo tichbeh. There should be a fire there always. It should not be extinguished. Uvier alei akoini etzim baboker baboker. Then the Kohanim will put it on it, etzim, wood. Etzim in the plural, that's how we know you bring shnei gizrei etzim, two logs of wood. Baboker, baboker, each morning. Barach alei ha'olah. And then you put the olah on it. Biktir alei ha'chavei ha'shlamim. And then all the korbanot of the day will be placed upon it. So the Gemara says here, uvir alei ha'koin etzim, baboker, baboker. The word aleha comes to teach you, aleha, velo al charverta. That you place the shnei gizrei etzim, aleha, on it. On it is an exclusionary term. It comes to exclude chaverta, something else, where you cannot put it. Well, right now on the Mizbeach, we know there are two pyres there. There's the central pyre, which is the Maracha Gedola, and there's the Maracha Shnia Shel Ketoret. Now, if there are two pyres on the Mizbeach, then I understand the necessity for the Pasuk to come and specify where you're placing these Shnei Gizrei Etzim. I have a choice. I can put it on the Maracha Gedola, or I can put these two logs of wood on the Maracha Shnia Shel Ketoret. So the answer of the pasuk is aleha, on it. On it means the pyre of the maracha gedola, v'lo chaverta, not on the maracha shnia shel ketoret. Michlal, dita lechaverta. The only reason you wouldn't have to have that type of exclusionary term means that there was another pyre that was there. So that's indicative of the fact that the maracha shnia shel ketoret must have been there prior to your dealing with the shnei gizrei etzim. Mar says, v'ya aleha mibayle lugufei. Don't we need the aleha to teach us the din itself? The din itself of where the placement of the shnei gizrei etzim are. To teach you that the shnei gizrei etzim themselves go on the maracha gedola. Aleha means where the ola is going. Because it says, varech aleha ola. That you have to put the shnei gizrei etzim together with the maracha gedola, or on or adjacent to the maracha gedola. The Gemara says, Trei aleha ktive. Pasuk actually has the word aleha mentioned twice. One aleha will teach us, aleha means on the maracha gedola. The second aleha will teach us, aleha velo al charverta. So because we have the word aleha twice, one of them will teach us exactly where we set up the shnei gizrei etzim. The second one will come to tell us that it's only there and not on the second pyre. Well, if it's not on the second pyre, that's indicative of the fact that there is a second pyre there. And that will give us the order now that we have Maracha Gdola, Maracha Shnei Shel Ketoret, and then we have the Sidur Shnei Gizrei Etzim. So the next item that's mentioned by Abaye is Sidur Shnei Gizrei Etzim Kodem L'Dishon Mizbeach Nimi, that the setting up of the two logs adjacent to the pyre on the Maracha Gdola comes before the cleaning off of the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Afagav d'hacha k'tiv baboker baboker. Even though here it's written baboker baboker, v'hacha k'tiv baboker baboker. Both of them have the term baboker baboker mentioned by them. We already mentioned that by the Siddur Shnei Tzim, because it says uvir alei ha'kohen itzim baboker baboker. Baboker baboker indicates it's got to be very early in the morning. But you have the same terminology that is used by the cleaning of the Mizbeach HaPnimi, which is in Shmot and Parshat Tetzaveh, the end, when it talks about the Mizbeach HaZahav and Mizbeach HaKtoret, it says, Viktir alav aron ktoret samim baboker baboker, ve'etivo et eneiro tiaktireno. Aron brings the ktoret samim baboker baboker very early in the morning, ve'etivo et eneiro, to the time that he's fixing the neirot. Hatavat neirot also includes the cleaning off of the Mizbeach HaPnimi. We'll see why one is given precedence over the other. But the Hatava, or the cleaning out of the menorah, and the cleaning off of the Mizbeach Zahav come as a package. And that package has the words Baboker, Baboker associated with it. Now here leads to the machloki between Abba Shaul and the Chachamim about exactly the order of the Hatavat HaNeirot vis-a-vis the Ktoret, but that we already discussed back on Daf Yudalit. But what the Gemara is saying here is, I have two items where they have equal weighting. Both of them are described in the Torah as being necessary to do them baboker baboker early in the morning. The Shnei Gizrei Tzim, as well as the Disha Mizbech HaPnimi. Afilu hachi machshir adif. Nevertheless, we give precedence to the machshir. The machshir is something that facilitates another item. So over here, the wood, the Shnei Gizrei Tzim, is a facilitator because all the korbanot are going to be brought on it afterwards. So that is a machshir. That's what makes it possible to have all the gormanot that are brought afterwards. So Gemara says, machshir, my nihu. What's the machshir here? Shnei gizrei tzim. Gemara says, v'hamart, shnei gizrei tzim l'maracha gedola azle. Well, you just told me that the shnei gizrei tzim go on to the maracha gedola. And if that's the case, then they're not really a machshir over here because maracha gedola already exists. This is just adding on two pieces of wood to the maracha gedola. They're not a machshir. They're not something that facilitates the ability to do something because the Maracha Gedola already exists. So what must be that when you're talking about here, they're a machshir? They're a machshir for the ketoret. They're the thing that makes it possible to bring the ketoret because they generate the coals for the ketoret. So now, if that's the case, I'm dealing within the world of ketoret. I have two options. I can take care of the making of the coals to be placed on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, or I can go into the Mizbeach HaPnimi, Mizbeach Zahav, and clean it off, which is a Maseh Siluk. It's just removing something. So I'd rather do the active, preparatory, facilitating action, which is making the coals to put on the Mizbeach HaZahav, before I do the sweeping or the cleaning of the Mizbeach HaZahav. The Gemara says, well, that's all nice and good, but the Siddur Shnei Gizrei Tzim actually don't go towards making the coals for the Ktoret. They actually go on the Maracha Gdola. And since they go on the Maracha Gdola, they're not a facilitator in terms of the Ktoret. So we have a number of answers by the Amoraim here. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya Shum Eitzim. The terminology Eitzim is a broad terminology. You're right that the Siddur Shnei Gizrei Eitzim themselves do not generate the coals for the Ktoret. Nevertheless, they're in the world of Eitzim, of the wood, and the fixing of the pyres on the Mizbeach, the Maracha Shnei Shal Ktoret, leads to this idea of a machshir of preparing for the Ktoret. And since it's in that world of Eitzim, it will precede the Siluk, the removal of the ashes or the coals from the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Ravina Amar Hol V'Hitchil B'Maracha Gomer. Ravina just says it's a practical issue. We're dealing with the Maracha. We're dealing with the pyres and the wood on the Mizbeach. So yes, Maracha Gedola goes first. Maracha Shnei Shel Kedora goes second. And then you could have a possibility that you should do the Dishon Mizbeach HaPnimi now. But since I'm already dealing with the issue of the Eitzim and the Maracha, I'll just finish off that entire Avoda, which will include putting on the Shnei Gizrei Tzim, and that's why they get precedence. Rashi Amar. Rashi brings the answer similar to what we saw in the previous case, which was, Ilo Mishkach Itzin LaMaracha Shniyash Milo Ma'ayo Mi Maracha Gdola. Didn't we learn before that if we do not have sufficient wood to create a Maracha Shniyash, to create a second pyre, which will be the source for the coals to be put on the Mizbeach HaZahav, didn't we say before that you could source those coals from the Maracha Gdola? If that's the case, then the Maracha Gdola also has this name of being a Machshir, the Gabei the Ketoret. Because just like the Maracha Shnei Shel Kedoret provides the coals for the Mizbeach HaZahav, so too when there is no Maracha Shnei Shel Kedoret, the Maracha Gdola can provide that sourcing of the coals. And if that's the case, then we have a reason to give precedence to the Siddur Shnei Gizrei Eitzim, which is placed on the Maracha Gdola, because that is a Maseh Machshir. That's what facilitates the ability to bring the Toret on the Mizbeach HaZahav, and will give that precedence over the Siluk, the removal of the ashes of the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So even though in terms of the terminology used in the Torah, Baboker, Baboker, they're on equal footing in terms of timing, nevertheless we give precedence to the Sidur Shnei Gizrei Tzim because of the reason that it is a Makshir. And here we have three Amoraim explaining as to why the Sidur Shnei Gizrei Tzim is considered to be a Makshir for the Ktoret. Either because it's an Eitz, and the world of Eitzim bring the Makshir for the Ktoret. Number two is because we began the Avodah Eitzim, we want to complete them all. And number three is because the Maracha Gdola, where the Sidur Shnei Gizrei Tzim takes place, is a backup for placing the coals onto the Mizbeach HaZahav. Then the next thing mentioned in the Seder of Abaye is Dishin Mizbeach Pnimi Kodem Lehatavat Chamesh HaNeirot, that the cleaning off the Mizbeach HaPnimi takes precedence over the cleaning off of the, or cleaning out of the five Neirot of the Menorah. My time, huh? What's the reason for that? Amar Abaye Gemara Gemirna. It is something that we have in Misorah. Svara Lo Yadana. I don't know the reason for it. So he says, we don't have a reason. We know that it's the case. We have a Misorah that it's such, but we don't have any logical understanding of it. Rav Amar, Kiresh Lakish. Rav says, no, we do have an understanding of why this happens. It's like the Memra of Resh Lakish. The Memra of Resh Lakish is, Damar Resh Lakish, Ein Marvirin Ala Mitzvot. One is not allowed to pass by a mitzvah. Now, Ein Marvirin Ala Mitzvot has two manifestations. Because one manifestation, Ein Marvirin Ala Mitzvot, is if I'm going to do a mitzvah, and I have the ability to accomplish the mitzvah, at the first moment that I have to accomplish the mitzvah, I should take advantage of that. So for instance, when they're going out to cut the grain for the Omer, then we go to the place that is closest to Yerushalayim to cut the grains. We don't pass by places that have the availability of the grain that we need, because Ein Marvirin Ala Mitzvot. I have an opportunity to accomplish the mitzvah. That first opportunity, I take advantage of. The other place where Ein Marvirin Ala Mitzvot comes up is if I have the option of doing two mitzvot, and one mitzvah is more readily available to me, or is in my hand already. There we say, Ein Marvirin Ala Mitzvot, I give precedence to the mitzvah that is closer to me, or that's in my hand already. As Tosafot points out over here, this rule of Ein Marvirin Ala Mitzvot is simply a rule in Hakdama. It's simply a rule in precedence. If I need to know the order in which to do a mitzvah, Ein Marvirin Ala Mitzvot tells me the order in which to do the mitzvah. It is not a rule with regards to if I have a choice between two mitzvot and I can only accomplish one of them. I have two mitzvot in front of me. I only have time or sufficient funds to do one mitzvah. Ein Marvirin Ala Mitzvot, there is not a rule to tell me which one gets precedence in terms of doing it as opposed to the other one. It only is a rule with regards to ktima, order. And that's where we use Ein Marvirin Ala Mitzvot. And we'll discuss this in more in detail in a couple of minutes. So that, he says, is Ein Marvirin Ala Mitzvot. Why is that relevant over here with regards to taking care of the Mizbeach HaZahav versus the Menorah? Because, B'chi'ayel Heichal, when you enter into the Kodesh, the Mizbeach Baravereisho, you bump into the Mizbeach HaZahav first, Titania, because we have a bright of the setup, or explains the setup of the Kodesh, which is Shulchan B'tzafon. The Shulchan sits on the northern side of the Kodesh, Mashuch Menakoto Shteyamoto Mechsa, pulled away from the wall, the northern wall, by 2.5 amot. That was to facilitate the ability of the Kohanim to pass between the wall and the Shulchan, because when they brought the Lechem HaPanim on Shabbat, they had to remove the old Lechem HaPanim and put the new Lechem HaPanim on. They used to do it in a way that the Lechem HaPanim was always on the Shulchan. So they used to slide on the new Lechem HaPanim as they were sliding off the old Lechem HaPanim. And that required 4 Kohanim to do it, and so they needed space for the Kohanim to stand. And that was the Shteyamot HaMechsa between the wall and the Shulchan. In parallel, the menorah sits on the southern wall, 2.5 amot away from the mechsa. That's to create a parallel with the shulchan, mizbeach b'emtza. The mizbeach hazav is in the center of the kodesh, b'omeid b'emtza. It sits directly in the center, mashuch lapei chutz, and it's drawn a little bit towards the eastern side, kima, a little bit. So the way that you have the setup of the kodesh is that you have the shulchan on the northern side, you have the menorah on the southern side, and you have the Mizbeach HaZahav dead centered. Now, centered is in both directions. It can be centered horizontally and along the length of the Kodesh. It's centered horizontally between the two sides, the north and the south. It's also centered from front to back, which is west to east. But then the Braita says, even though it's centered front to back, it's pulled towards the east. So it's off center now. It's more towards the doorway, which is what we just realized, that when you walk into the Kodesh, you're going to bump into the Mizbeach HaZahav first, because it's pulled towards the east more than the menorah or the shulchan. Gemara asks, why? Why would you do that? Why don't you say v'nukma l'hadayu? Why don't you set it up in parallel with the shulchan and the menorah? Why is there a necessity to pull the Mizbeach HaZahav towards the eastern side? Gemara says, dichdib, because it says in the setting up of the Mishkan, v'et ha-menorah nochach ha-shulchan. The menorah sits opposite the shulchan. So since we need to have it's menorah nochach shulchan, b'inan dechazu adodi, we need it, or it's necessary for them to see each other. So because the pasuk demands that the menorah is opposite the shulchan, we need the menorah and the shulchan to be aligned parallel so they can see each other. If you put the mizbeach hazahav between them, it would block that ability to have the menorah seeing directly towards the shulchan. So we pull the mizbeach hazahav forward, meaning towards the eastern side, to allow the menorah and shulchan to be directly opposite each other. And that's why the mizbeach hazahav is not in a parallel line right between the menorah and the shulchan, but rather pulled towards the eastern side. Because of that, when you enter into the heichal, into the kodesh, you're going to bump into the mizbeach hazahav before you hit the menorah. So that's why you deal with the dishun mizbeach ha-pnimi before you deal with the dishun ha-menorah. That's why you get the precedence based on this principle of ein mavirin ala mitzvot. Omer Rava. Rava says, from this principle of ein mavirin ala mitzvot, shvamina, we can get to this conclusion, midrash lakish, avurei dara atotefta asur. To pass by the arm to get to the head is asur. Hey chiyavid, what should you do? Medara letotefta. You go to the arm first, and then to the head. Now, what the din is here, Rashi claims, this is the order in which you put on the tefillin. What should you do when you put on the tefillin? You put on your tefillin shel yad first, and then you put on your tefillin shel rosh. Why is that the proper order? Because it would be mavirin ala mitzvot. When you move your hand and when you're moving the tefillin, what's the first thing you're going to bump into? It's your arm. So you're going to bump into your arm first, that gets precedence, and then only afterwards you put on the tefillin shel rosh. Tosafot takes issue with Rashi's explanation because in the Gemara Menachot, it tells us why you have to put on the tefillin shel yad before you put on the tefillin shel rosh. And that's based on the pasuk which says, Uvshartam leot al yadecha, v'hayu letotafot ben enecha. The vav is a vav achibur, which tells us that only once there is a kshira on the yad, then totafot, we put on the tefillin shel rosh. And that is our practice, that we only put on the tefillin shel yad first, and then put on the tefillin shel rosh while our tefillin shel yad is still on. We also remove the tefillin shel rosh while our tefillin shel yad is still on. So the tefillin shel rosh has to come afterwards because of the gzeirat ha-ketuv, nothing to do with ein mavirin ala mitzvot. So Tosafot gives an alternative explanation which has major implications l'alacha. The first one is mefresh Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam explains v'shem Rav Haigaon. This has to do when you remove your tefillin. After you take off your tefillin, and you're going to put them into the bag, the tikk, where you keep them, so then you have to make sure that the way that you put them into the bag will facilitate, when you take them out, that you will bump into your tefillin shel yad first, and then only afterwards your tefillin shel rosh. Since there's a requirement halachically, as we see from the psukim, to put on your tefillin shel yad first, we want you, when you open up your tefillin bag, to bump into your tefillin shel yad first. That way you're not mavir ala mitzvah. Because if you were to bump into your tefillin shel rosh first, then you would have to pass by the mitzvah of tefillin shel rosh to get to tefillin shel yad in order to do that mitzvah first. So in order to prevent that problem, we tell you when you're taking off your tefillin, put them in a bag in such a way that when you go to take them out the next morning, you'll bump into your tefillin shel yad first, and then only afterwards you'll bump into your tefillin shel rosh. That's the din of the Reino Tam. Tosafot also brings from the Rebbe Eliyahu that it has to do with the Inyan Mishmush, that there's a requirement, we saw this earlier in the Sechta, to touch your tefillin, to be reminded that you're wearing your tefillin, to be aware of the fact that you're wearing your tefillin, and we do that, or we facilitate that by touching the tefillin. We do that in parts of davening, Poteach et Yadecha, in parts like Shartam Leot Yadecha, Vayilu Totafot Ben Enecha. He says, what's the order of touching the tefillin? He says, you first touch the tefillin shel yad, and then you touch the tefillin shel rosh. Even though the tefillin shel rosh are mar kadosh, and you would think you would touch them first, nevertheless, because of the principle of Ein Marvin al Mitzvah, since when you're going to move your hand to touch your tefillin, you're going to pass by your tefillin shel yad first, you touch that or you kiss that first, and then you touch the tefillin shel rosh. So that's what's brought down here by the Tosafot as what we derive from the principle of Rava. Now this is actually brought down the halacha. It's brought down the halacha in two areas with regards to tefillin. The first is the issue of talit and tefillin. When one puts on talit or tefillin in the morning, one's supposed to put on their talit first, and then afterwards the tefillin. So, in Siman Chaf Hei, the Shulchan Aruch notes that you should set it up in a way that when you go to open up your talit bag or your tefillin bag, if they are together, then you should make sure that you bump into your talit first, so that you're taking out your talit and putting it on, because if you bump into your tefillin first, then you would be ma'avirin ala mitzvot, and that would be problematic. It's problematic enough that we'd actually ask you possibly to put on your tefillin first, and not put on the talit first. The order of putting on talit versus tefillin is tadir she'enu tadir, but there's no halachic necessity from the pasuk to do that. And therefore, if one was to take out their tefillin first, then they would have to put on their tefillin before they put on their talit. So we tell you, set up your bag so that you get to your talit first. The Mishnah Berurah actually brings down amazingly that if you're in a room and you're going to go out to davening, and in the room you want to put on your tefillin and your talit before you leave, if in the room you would bump into your tefillin before you bump into the talit, you would have to put on your tefillin before your talit, because that's a din of Ein Marvin al Mitzvot, and he proves it from our Gemara. He quotes our Gemara here in Yoma, because he says, that's what Rava says in the name of Reish Lakish, that's the reason you go to the Mizbeach Hazahav first and not the Menorah. Has to do when you're walking into the room, what you bump into first. So Mishnah Berurah says, if you walk into a room, you're going to bump into your tefillin first, you put on your tefillin, and then you put on your talit. That's one place where this din is manifest. The other place is actually with tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. And that is what Tosafot just said here, brought down the halacha as well, that when you put away your tefillin, you should make sure that your tefillin shel yad is in an area that you'll bump into that first when you come to take it out. That you should put on the way set up in the bag. You should have your tefillin shel yad on the right side, towards the front of the bag, and the tefillin shel rosh in the back towards the left side, in order that when you stick in your hand to take it out, you will bump into your tefillin shel yad first as you put your right hand. If you're a righty, if it's a lefty, it might be different for you. But you put in your right hand to take it out, then you pull out the tefillin shel yad first, and you won't be mavir ala mitzvot. In this case, it's slightly different, because here, if you did come to tefillin shel rosh first, we would not let you put it on first, because of the issue of the pasuk, which says that you must put on tefillin shel yad, and then only afterwards tefillin shel rosh. So here there's a din that tefillin shel rosh must come after tefillin shel yad. So in that instance, even if you did it wrong, we would tell you that you have to put on tefillin shel yad first, and you'll be in violation of ein mavirin al hamitzvot. So we ask you to set up your tefillin bag in such a way that you don't have that problem. Now, there are certain tefillin bags that are narrower, so it facilitates the ability to put one in front of the other. There is a little bit of an issue with the canisters that people use today for their tefillin. It actually works out terrifically for this case, because you put in your tefillin shel rosh, and there's only enough room to put the tefillin shel yad on top of that. And so because of that, you always take out the tefillin shel yad first. You don't have a problem of ein marvin al mitzvot. But you have a separate issue is that when the canister is actually standing upright, the tefillin shel rosh are on the bottom, and the tefillin shel yad are above them. And that's problematic, because the tefillin shel rosh are more kadosh than the tefillin shel yad. So those canisters actually made, the handles on the side, are only made to be used while they're lying on the horizontal, not while they're stood up. When they're stood up, you run into a problem. If they are lying on their side, then the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh are always next to each other. There's no problem of one being on top of the other, and it facilitates the ability to get the tefillin shel yad first, and only afterwards tefillin shel rosh, and they work well. But one has to be careful if you use those canisters. Many of the bar mitzvah boys like to have these canisters to instruct them not to stand them upright and place the tefillin in that way, because then the tefillin shel yad is above shel rosh. And also when they carry them and they take them around, they should always be on the horizontal, so the tefillin shel yad is not above the tefillin shel rosh. But Baruch Hashem, they will be able to always get their tefillin shel yad first. This halacha also comes up, for instance, on Friday night. When it comes to making hamotzi at the table on Friday night, the minhag miderach kabbalah is to use the bottom challah for breaking the bread on Friday night from the lechem ha-mishneh. On Shabbat morning, we use the upper challah. But if you're going to use the bottom challah, why aren't we in violation of a problem of ein marvirin al mitzvot? You're passing by the upper challah to get to the lower challah. So that's what the Bach asks on the sack of the tour, that we should use the lower challah. The Taz, his son-in-law, responds and says, that's not a problem. What you do is you pull the lower challah a little closer to you. So then you won't have a problem of ein marvirin al mitzvot. Because even though you'll bump into the upper challah first, the lower challah is actually closer to you, because you pulled it a little bit in towards you. The Magen Avraham has a separate suggestion, which is that you keep the one that you're going to use on top during Kiddush. Then only when you're about to make hamotzi do you switch it to underneath. But that means that challah, when you go to take them from the plate on the table and you go to make the hamotzi, the first one you bump into is the one that is on top. So even though you move it later to the bottom, it was the first challah that you came into contact with, And that's the one that you can use. The minhag is to, again, if one is a righty on Friday night, is to take the lower challah and put it in their right hand, and then put the upper challah in the left hand, and then pull that lower challah when you're making hamotzi, holding like a mishnah, a little bit towards you, so you don't have this problem in mavrin al mitzvot. And then in the morning, when you make it on the upper challah, then the upper challah is in your right hand, the lower challah is in your left hand, and there you don't have the problem in mavrin al mitzvot, because you're going to the upper challah, that's the one that you're going to break bread on. There is a machloket amongst the achronim. If you are in violation of Ein Marvin al Mitzvot, what do we do then? Once you violated it, do we say that it's a problem and you must go back to the original mitzvah and forego the new mitzvah that you went to because you violated Ein Marvin al Mitzvot? We take it back and go back and do the first mitzvah you bumped into. Or do you say, once you violated Ein Marvin al Mitzvot, it's not lechat chila. Once you've done that, you should continue with the mitzvah that you are doing. And that is a machloket amongst the achronim as how to view the violation of Ein Marvin al Mitzvot. So again, we get this halacha from the order that's here. And Rovo extrapolates that to the din of tefillin, and that's what we just discussed. Now, the next thing in our order of Abaye is, Tavat Chamesh Nerot, Kodem LeDama Tamid. That the taking care of the five Nerot comes before the Dama Tamid. Again, this is the position of Abba Shaul, that Dama Tamid sits between the Dama Tamid, Kodem LeDama Tamid. And then the Dama Tamid comes before the Hatavat Shnei Rodot, my time. What is the reasoning that the Dama Tamid sits between these two Hatavot? Amar Abaye, Hayi Boker Boker the Shnei Gizrei Itzim. That Boker Boker by Ubir Aleha Itzim, Ba Boker Ba Boker. When we sit over there, that Boker Ba Boker, that was unnecessary. Delo Tzrichi. We don't need it. We don't need it because we said the reason the Shnei Gizrei Itzim go before the Boker Boker of the Dishun Mizbech HaPnimi is because it's a Machshir. So we don't need Boker Boker to teach me that din that it goes first. We just need the fact that it's a machshir to teach me it goes first. That means that those two words, Boker Boker, are extraneous, superfluous. So Shadina Lahacha, then put him on these two issues. Put him one of them on towards the Hatavat HaNerot, and one of them towards the Dam HaTamid. Chad Shadjil HaTavat HaMesh HaNerot, one of them we put by the Hatavat HaMesh HaNerot, which you already read says Baboker Baboker over there. Baboker Baboker Tivonate wrote. Now if I put a Boker there, I end up with three words Boker written by the Hatavat Chamesh they wrote. And then take the other word Boker and I put it with the Dama Tamid. The Dama Tamid is by the Korban Tamid. It says, you do it there. There's only one Boker. So if I add on this additional Boker, I now have two words Boker by the Tamid. Tosavot, throughout the remainder of the sugi, asks, why do we split it this way? Why are you pushing it in these directions? Why don't you put it all by the Dama Tamid? Why don't you put it all here? So Tosafot gives an explanation as to why we have to split it. And number two is why we only put one by the Hatavat HaNerot. It makes more sense. If you already have the word Boker Boker, that you would add another Boker to that. Versus if you only have one word Boker that you can add it on. Now because of what we've just done, therefore we end up with a situation which is that Chad Shadi LeChamesh Nerot, to the Kadmi LeDama Tamid, that comes before the Dama Tamid, Chad Shadi LeDama Tamid, and one is placed towards the Dama Tamid, and the Kadmi LeTavat Nerot. So now the Gemara explains what that means. Chashad Hatavat Chamesh Nerot, one of those words Boker we added on to the Hatavat Chamesh Nerot, that means now that Hatavat Nerot has three words Boker by it. The Kadmi, the Dama Tamid, the Hachat Lata. By the Chamesh Nerot, now we have the word Boker three times. The Hachat Right. By Dama Tamid, we have it too. We have the word Boker that's found on the Pasuk, plus this additional Boker that we took from the Sidur Shnei Gizrei Itzim and added to it. So three goes before two. Three Bokers is earlier than two Bokers. Therefore, the Hatavat Chamesh Nerot goes before the Dama Tamid. V'chad Shadi LeDama Tamid, and then one you put towards the Dama Tamid, T'nikad Min LaTavat Shnei Nerot, tells you that it goes before the fixing of the two Nerot. Afagav D'Hachatrei V'Hachatrei, even though now the word Boker Boker is used. Baboker Baboker by the Hatavat Nerot, we already know. It has the Boker Boker twice. And now by Dama Tamid, by adding this Boker, you also have Boker Boker. That means they're on equal footing. They both have the word Boker mentioned twice, which means they both are very early in the morning, but we don't know which one gets precedence. Chaper Adif. At that point, once you have them on equal footing, we say that the Mechaper, that which brings atonement, is given precedence. If that's the case, Dama Tamid is the Mechaper, that's the Dam, that is the Shchitat HaKorban Tamid, plus the Kabbalat Dam and the Zrikat Dam on the Mizbeach. And the Dam is the Iker Kapara with regards to the Korban. Even a Korban Olah, it is mechaper, as Rashi says, it's mechaper on mitzvot asei and mitzvot lo tasei shenitok lasei. And so since it has a din of kapara, it takes precedence over the hatavat shnei nerot. Some of the Rishonim here ask, why is it by when we said machshir adif, we didn't care whether you had the word boker or not mentioned there. Over here by mechaper adif, we say, well, they have to be on equal footing in order for them to get precedence. So what the Tosfot Yishanim says is, if you have an uneven number of the words boker, then you would automatically give precedence to Boker Boker versus Boker. But if something has the word boker not mentioned at all, or it has it mentioned twice to put on equal footing, then we can introduce whether makshir adif or mechaper adif. That's what the Gemara there says before. By shnei gizrei tzim, we had the word boker, which put on equal footing with the mizbeach ha'pnimi. But even if it had, didn't have the word boker at all, the Tosafot Yeshanim says, we'd still give the shnei gizrei tzim precedence because it's a makshir. Ah, it doesn't have the word baboker there. That's okay. The Torah didn't mention it at all, and maybe it's supposed to be because the makshir goes first. Had the Torah only mentioned one word boker by the shnei gizrei tzim, then we know the Torah is trying to give you a sequence or an order, because two bokers goes before one boker. But if there's an absence of boker, or they're on equal planes, then we don't draw any conclusions from that. So that's what the Gemara does. Before, by the makshir, the shnei gizrei tzim, it takes away the word boker by boker entirely, and says that boker is not the determining factor here, makshir is. Over here, we would have had a problem, because by the Dama Tamid, it has the word boker once, and by the Hatavat HaNeirot, it has it twice. So there, we would give precedence to the Hatavat Shtei HaNeirot. But by putting the extra boker here, we put them on equal footing. Once now we have them on equal footing, because they both have the word boker twice, then we go to Mechaper to tell us which one comes first. And so that's why the Gemara here uses Mechaper when they're on equal footing of boker. And over there before, by Makshir, it gives it Hadafa, even though it wouldn't have said the word boker at all, because, again, there's no comparison. It's only when you have two versus one does that become an issue for sequence. Why do you have to split up your bokers like that? The two that you took from the Seder Shnei Gizrei Tzim, why are you putting them like that? Why don't you throw one of them onto the Dishim Mizbech HaPnimi, which has boker, and now you have three bokers, then the Kadma the Dama Tamit, to tell you that it comes before the Dama Tamit. Because then it will have three bokers. And the Dama Tamid will only have two. Chad Shadi the Dama Tamid, and one you'll give to the Dama Tamid, that's why it has two, because the boker that's written in the Pasuk, about the Kibbutz Echata Seba Boker, plus the boker you're taking from Sidur Shnei Gizrei Tzim, you'll have two. The Nikdem the Hatavat Chamesh Neirot. And then you'll have Hatavat Shnei Neirot, Chamesh Neirot has two bokers, and Dama Tamid has two bokers. And we know that Hachatrei, Mechapar Adif. So then you would have a sequence like this. You would have Dishin Mizbecha Pnimi first, then Dama Tamid, then Chatavat Chamesh HaNeirot, and then Chatavat Shtei HaNeirot. So that's what Gemara says, well, Imkein, Afsuke B'may Misafi Lehu. That's the case, then what did you divide it with? So now the question is the Gemara end here, and then the new statement is independent, or is the new statement a continuation of the question? Rapapa poses a question to Abaye and says, how do you know that you give that boker to the Chatavat HaNeirot and to the Dama Tamid? Why don't you give it to the Dishin Mizbech HaPnimi and to the Dam HaTamid, and then you'd end up with a different order here. So the way Rashi reads it is, because Im Kein Afsukei B'may Misafi Lehu, then what is dividing between the five Neirot and the Shtei Neirot? The Gemara says, Anicha the Reish Lakish, your question, Rapapa, is valid according to Reish Lakish, Damar, Lama Metivin V'Chozrinu Metivin, why do you do Hatavat HaNeirot, and then do Hatavat HaNeirot again, why do you split it between five and two? Delar Hish Kol Azarak Hula Shapir. Because the only reason you split them up is to make it that there's more humdrum, there's more commotion inside of the Azara. In order to facilitate that, we split it up to make it that there are more people involved in the Avodah. But because of that, we don't need anything to divide between the five and the two. It's simply a way to create more Avodot. Question of why did you have to do it here, or where did that come from? Rabbi Yochanan Damar Baboker Baboker Chilku L'Shnei Bekarim. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that we split it between the two Bekarim, Ma'ika LeMeimar. Over there, he has a halachic requirement that the Hatavat Chamesh Neirot be split from the Hatavat Shtei Neirot. And according to him, you need something to sit between them. So therefore, your question, Rav Papa, is not valid according to Rabbi Yochanan. That's the way the Rashi reads it, that the Gemara is saying here, Rav Papa, your question is valid according to Reish Lakish, but it's not valid according to Rabbi Yochanan. It's a continuation of the statement of Abaye in replying to Rav Papa as to what you put between the Hatavat Chamesh Neirot and Hatavat Shtei Neirot. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Chanan, it's quoted here in the Tosfat Yeshanim. He says, Rabbeinu Chanan perish b'shem ha-gaon, t'milta ba'am pei nafshahi. This statement of Hanich Reish Lakish is an independent statement. And that is that the previous Gemara concludes, Imkein of suke b'may misakdalhu. By his response to Rav Papa is, if you take out the Dama Tamid now, and you put it before Hatavat Chamesh HaNeirot and Hatavat Shtei HaNeirot, then what are you going to put in between? Because according to Abba Shaul, Torah comes after the Hatavat HaNeirot. Now you have nothing between it. You have Dama Tamid before, the Torah afterwards, nothing between them. And that's the end of Abaye's statement back to Rav Papa, and it says, you need something in between them. Now, the Gemara, when it says, Anicha Reish Lakish, is going back to the original statement, or the original Limud. The Gemara says, Anicha Reish Lakish Damar, Lama Mitivim, Chozim Mitivim, Kedei, Lahargisha, Zarak, Ula, Shapir. According to Reish Lakish, we can understand that Baboker, is by the Neirot, Bakdume, the Dama Tamid, to tell you that the Neirot become the Dama Tamid, Because here's his three, and there's two over here. Kedamran, like we said before, mina bayis limut. Other Rabbi Yochanan damar. Rabbi Yochanan says that you split the boker in half, means that by the hatavat neirot, you only have one boker. One boker is to teach you about the five neirot, and the other boker is to teach you about the hatavat shtei neirot, five and two. He says, chelkeu, split them in half. So there's only one boker by the five neirot, and one boker by the shtei neirot. Then that whole limut of abayi doesn't work. The whole limut of abayi is you take a boker, and you add it on to the two bekorim that are already there, and because of that, you end up with three words boker. But that only happens if you think the two words stay together. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he says, no, you give one boker to the five neirot and one boker to the shtei neirot. That means that there is no two bokers that is used over here. According to this explanation, the Tosfot Yeshanim says, where is Reish Lakish's source for that you split it up? And why would you split it up in order to just make a motion in the Azara? And he says over here that it must be Min HaTorah, even though we don't have a source for Reish Lakish's opinion, must be a Torah din that allows us to split it up in order to create that commotion. So those are the two different ways to read it. One according to Rashi, that this is a continuation of Abaye's response to Rapapa, or according to the Tosfot Yeshanim, B'Shem the Rabbeinu Chananel, B'Shem HaGaon, that this is actually an independent statement, going back to Abaye's original limud and saying that that works well according to Reish Lakish, but that limud doesn't work well according to Rabbi Yochanan. Obviously, Rashi will explain that according to Rabbi Yochanan, it works. Even though we say Baboker, Baboker, Chilkeyu, that's just a limud. But then we'll have two bokers that are signed to the Chamesh Neirot and two bokers that are signed to the Hatavat Shtei HaNeirot. Because Baboker, Boker is written by both of them. Just the limud of Chilkeyu, the Boker Lozeh and Boker Lozeh, is simply a limud. It doesn't take away the fact that there are two words boker that are there. So Amalei Ravina Larvashi. Hai Baboker, Baboker de Itzim Mimiyater. So he goes back and he says, wait, the Boker, Boker that you're using here from the Shnei Sidrei Gizrei Itzim, is it really extraneous, superfluous? Hamibai Le Gufei. We need it for itself. The Kamar Rachmano, Nikadmu the Maracha Shniya Shel Kedoret, to tell us that the Shnei Gizrei Tzim should go before the Maracha Shniya Shel Kedoret, not like what Abaye set up, but rather, we'll say Baboker, Baboker comes to teach you that the Shnei Gizrei Tzim should go before the Maracha Shniya Shel Kedoret. To that, Ravashi responds to him, Amarle Ravashi, the Ravina, Balav Mi Ukimna, then we already deal with this issue, which is that the Pasuk says, Aleha, below al chaverta. The word aleha comes to teach us that it's on it and not on its friend, implying that there is another pyre there. That is the maracha shniyah shel ketoret, mechlal. So that from this you can deduce or conclude that ita the chaverta, there is already another pyre there. And that's how we know that the maracha shniyah shel ketoret takes precedence over the sidur shnei gizrei tzim. And baboker baboker is not relevant to that order. And therefore baboker baboker is really superfluous or extraneous. And we can use it to set up the order of the Chatavat HaMesha Neirot and the Dam HaTamid. For the Limud of Abaye to teach us about the order of the Chatavat HaMesha Neirot coming before the Dam HaTamid. Now the Gemara asks a question. Mashna David HaTavat HaMesh Neirot Bereisha. Why do you do five Neirot in the beginning? Navid HaTavat Shtei Neirot Bereisha. Why don't you do the two in the beginning? First of all, there's two questions here. Why do you break it down into five and two? And number two is, why do you do the five before the two? Gemara says, because gave into Achtil Behu Avid Ruba. Why five becomes before two is because once you start in the mitzvah, we want you to do as much as possible of the mitzvah up front. So that's why five gets precedence over two. So Gemara says, if that's the case, Navid Sheet, then why don't you do six and just leave one of them left over? Amagra Behiti Voet Neirot Yaktirena. The word Neirot there is plural. Ve'enarot Pchutot Mishtaim. Since there's minimum of Neirot is two, in order to do the Hatavat Shtei Neirot, you have to have two Neirot left over. So since the word Neirot is used, we break it up into five and two. We do as many as possible up front. We would have done six. The only reason we do five is because we need to leave over two. There is another reason as to why we'd have to leave over two, and that has to do with the machloket as to where the Ner HaMaravi is. There's a machloket as where is the Ner HaMaravi, which always remained lit, and which you lit the other candles from, was the center one of the menorah, or is actually the second one from the eastern side. Because Ner HaMaravi is Marav, it's western relative to something else. It's not the one that's all the way to the west, but rather the second one from the eastern side because it's west of the first one. So in order to have something be the Ner HaMaravi, which is one of the candles that was left over here, so in order to be a Ner HaMaravi, it's only in relationship to another candle. And so the reason you need Shtei Neirot here is because the Ner HaMaravi needs the Ner HaMizrachi, the most eastern candle, to make it into the Ner HaMaravi. And so because of that, you need to leave over Shtei Neirot. That's a secondary reason, according to that opinion, that the Ner HaMaravi is the second one from the eastern side. That's why we'd have to leave over Shtei Neirot in order to give it the shame of Ner Maravi. You would have to have one east of it. And that's another reason to leave over Shtei Ha Neirot. Now the Gemara says, Vatavat Shtei Neirot Kodemet Lektoret. This is Abba Shaul's opinion. Damak Ra, the Pasuk says, Vetivo Et Neirot Vahadar Yaktirena. First you do Atavat Neirot, and then the word Yaktirena is brought afterwards. So the Ktoret is brought after the Hatavat HaNeirot, all of the Hatavat HaNeirot. Uktoret Le'evarim, and the Ktoret is completed before you put the limbs of the Korban Tamid onto the Zbeach, because the Tanya, Yukdam Shnever Bar Baboker Baboker, Ktoret has the word Baboker Baboker written by it early morning, the Tavar Shalner Mabo Ela Boker Achad Bilvat, versus the Korban Tamid, which says that the Keves Achet HaSeh Baboker. Now the Rishonim ask over here, what do you mean? You just said before the Dama Tamid, we added on an extra Boker to give it two Bokers. So it does what it says, first of all, Dama Tamid is one thing, and the Evarim are another thing. You can separate between them. In addition to that, the Dam is the Mechaper. The Evarim are only an ancillary to that Kapara. They're not necessary for the Kapara, and therefore they can be given a separate din, and they can be pushed back. Mechaper Adif applies to the Dam. It doesn't necessarily apply to the Evarim. In addition, that's what it says, the word Boker appears numerous times by the Korban Tamid. One of them is for the Boker of the Dam, and one of them is the Boker of the Evarim. So if that's the case, I don't have the word Boker twice by the Evarim. Even though I have the Parsha of the Tamid by Parshat Tetzaveh, as well as in Parshat Pinchas, nevertheless, there they're not considered to be additional words Boker, because they're not written adjacent to each other. The word Boker, Boker is only when you have the word Boker, Boker adjacent in the Pasuk. Just because there are many Psukim with the word Boker in it, doesn't add it up to be then there's two Bokers, it's still the one Boker that we're speaking about. So for that reason that the Evarim come after the Ktoret, because the Ktoret has two words Boker by it, early morning, as the Dama Tamid only has one word Boker that is written by it. Okay, we'll stop over here and we'll finish off the Seder of the Maracha according to Abaye, Alibid Abishol, tomorrow.